Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. You just rejoice in who? Hallelujah. Take a step in faith. David, you didn't hear my testimony. I took a step in faith, just like I preached last week, that you got to try something. Oh, you did hear? And I even sent Dave a thank you for that. Hallelujah. We're going to read from Psalm 2. Is that the right one? Yes. 1 through 7. That's good, Marilyn? Oh. I have the, oh, there it is, pardon. Pardon me, excuse me. Thank you. I knew that. I was just wanting to see who was paying attention. Whew. No, I know they're awake, I just want to see if they're paying. Okay, we'll read whatever he says, we'll read. Forgive me, Lord. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. But your commandment is exceedingly broad. Hallelujah. God is with you. God has always been with you. God's word never changes. You don't have to worry about changes. You don't have to let anybody tell you that the word changed. The whole thing about God is he didn't change because he doesn't have to change, because this is in the inspired word of who? God. And it's perfect, and this is all we need. We don't hate anybody. We don't look at anybody, and we don't judge anybody. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited about today, but I say that every Sunday. How's everybody doing? You okay? Did you have a blessed week? Evidently, you made it through the week, so God must have been with you from time to time. And you all had something to eat all week and something to drink. So God was answering your prayer. Amen. Give us today our daily bread. He must have done that well. And you all have nice clothes on, and you're all dressed up and ready to hear God's word. Now, you got to receive it. Hallelujah. Now, I read this story, and I thought it was interesting to start with a testimony today. There was this big meeting in Hades, in hell. The devil had his workmen there, and he was talking to them. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And one of the workmen said, I'll go up there, and I'll tell the people that there's no God. And Satan said, nah, we've already tried that. It's no work. And the second guy said, well, I'll go up there and tell them that there's no such thing as sin. There's no sin. And Satan said, no, I've tried that already too. That don't work either. And the other fellow looked up and he said, I'll go up there and tell them that there's no hurry, no rush. God is waiting. You don't have to rush to God. And he said, aha. Because the people get complacent and they wait and they wait and they wait and they don't turn to God. They don't read his word. They don't get to know him. They don't know anything about him until, Deacon Sergio, they need him the most. And at those moments when they need him the most is when they need to know him the most, and they've waited, you see. We don't have time. And I believe this church is full of all my believers, all you believers. So now is your time to help other people. See, that's what we do. You see, you go out and you help other people. You might not be able to help everybody you see at Stop and Shop or at Walmart, but you might be able to help one person who you know, who knows another person. You see, that's how you do it. That's how you save people, one person at a time. That's how you got saved. That's how you came to know Jesus, because you met somebody else that told you about Jesus. Jesus. Maybe it was your mother. Maybe it was your father. Maybe it was your friend who invited you, you see. But we don't have time to wait to tell our family and our friends. Sometimes it's easier just to not tell your children about God because you don't want to argue with them. Sometimes it's easier to let them wear what they want to wear and say what they want to do because you don't want to argue with them. But you're not saving them from anything. You're not helping them. You're not giving them the tools they need for when they find a situation that they're going to need help. And how many know that they're going to have a situation where they're going to need help? Because we all do it. We all fall in that place that you gave them a tool that the world wouldn't give them. You gave them a tool that helps them through a situation. Maybe they lose their job. Maybe they lose their spouse. Maybe something happens in their life where they feel depressed because it's not money. Because I see people with money depressed. And it's not in, I see people with money doing drugs. So evidently it's not money. It's God. It's God who brings you to a place of security, gives you a place of hope. There's no time to wait to tell these people because you could save a life today. You can save a life today. You can lift up a brother or sister today and you just say, oh my God, look at what I did. I did that. Remember what I told you last week? If somebody stood up that didn't and never stood up when we were playing music, if one person stood up who never stood up, somebody sitting behind them is going to say, well, they stood up. Maybe I'll stand up too. You see what you see the power you got? You got that. So if you stand up, even if you're not clapping, but you stand up while we're singing praise and worship, and somebody, friend might say, well, I better stand up too, because I don't want anybody to see me sitting down. Or one person just surrenders to God. Say, Lord, I surrender. I give up. Lord, I give up. I'm in a place where I have to give up. I put my arms up to you, Lord, because I have nothing left. And somebody else might see that and say, hey, I'm going to try that. And then all of a sudden, you feel free, and God is able to fill you with more than He could have filled you when you were closed. Amen? You can't put a lot of stuff in a closed can. You got to open the bottle before you could put stuff in it. So there is no time. We have this time. This God says, I got your back. They might laugh at you. They might call you names, but they're going to hear something. They're going to hear something that could change their life. So there is no time. We don't want to be complacent. We want to tell people the good news. Amen? We don't look at people as sinners. We look at people in need of God. God will deal with that. That's not your job. Your job isn't to tell them how to live their life. That's God's job. Your job is to lead them to God. There is a rush for that. We need to do that for more people. You know, people are, look at our church. We got a beautiful church, a beautiful family. People aren't going to church. Why? Because a generation haven't told them about God. Or they told them that something in this book is evil. Lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. That's all it is. Amen? So let's pray together this morning. We're going to win this battle too because we got God on our side. Yeah, we know, Lord. We know that we could heal somebody today. We can heal them. We can lead them. We can take them and give them hope. You give somebody a seed of hope. You put an idea in their head that maybe something good can happen, and you let them run with that. It changes their life. You give them hope for when something comes against them that they know that they're not alone. That could save their life. When you give somebody the name of Jesus to hold on to in the darkest hour, they're not alone. That could change their life. You got that power because you have Jesus. That's the power that you share. God does the rest of the work. You don't have to be the doctor. You don't have to be anything except the person who translated the word Jesus to them, the one who passed it on. That's the power. That's the gift. You could be a leader of other people you don't even know. You could be a leader in your church that you don't even know. Realize that people are looking at you. People love you. People see you in a different way. And if they see you do something and they say, well, if they tried it, maybe I'll try it. That's how you grow closer to God. That's how you have this joy inside of you that your pastor has. You're wondering how he has it. It took years to get there. And I'm still a work in progress. I still fail every day. But I took to God. I looked to God. I asked God for help. And he told me this morning, Larry, I've always been with you. On any road, in any place, in any time, I've always been there with you. Don't you know that? Don't you realize that? And when I realize that, I say, thank you, Lord. My peace has been renewed. And I pray that for you. I pray that for our family and our friends. And I pray that for the world today, that they would come to know God, that their peace would be inside of them. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Hear my prayer, Lord. give him praise. I pray that you receive that. Don't be afraid anymore. Don't be afraid anymore. Don't let anything steal your joy. Don't let it. Hallelujah. I'm going to read for just a minute. If you want to read with me or mark it down, I'm going to be in 2 Peter. And I'm going to read 1, and I'm going to start at 16. So if you want to read with me, I'm just going to read a minute, but we're going to get to the whole concept of what I want to say, because there's one scripture in here that I want to get to. It's been on my heart to share with you, because it's good to know, and it's important to know. And anytime we learn something new from God, it's a good thing. Amen? Anytime God shows you something you didn't know before, you will have more wisdom and more knowledge in the Lord, and that is a good thing. Peter said, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, we didn't have any gimmicks. We didn't do anything. We didn't make up any stories. We didn't follow anybody's fable when we told you about God. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. They saw it. They heard it. They're sharing it with us. You tell me all the things that you saw and you heard because you were there. That's what Peter's doing. And he said, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." And what is the prophetic word? The Bible. It is confirmed because God, Jesus, confirmed it. He said, "We have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." In your where? In your heart. Why the heart? Anybody, why the heart? That's where the emotion lies. That's where God lies. In your heart. That's your central emotion. It's not just the muscle in your body, but that's where the love lies. When you love somebody, you love them with all your... Amen? So you want to understand God in your heart, not your head. Philosophers know the head. God wants you in the heart, and he's telling you that. Until the day dawns, isn't that beautiful? And the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, and here it is, this is where we're going to go today. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen? No Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is a powerful, powerful scripture. It's telling you, you can't make the Bible say what you want it to say. You can't make it do what you want it to do. It's not your, you can't use one line and look at somebody else and point at them and use that scripture. People do it all the time. But the Bible says, no, it's not for your interpretation. That's not any private. I didn't give it to you for a private interpretation. Always be ready. Let me tell you this. Always be ready to change what you have come to believe when it is contrary to what the Bible teaches. Let me read that again. You need to be ready to change what you have come to believe when it is contrary to what the Bible teaches. Amen? There's a lot of that going on. When people here say, "I didn't know that." Yes, that's good. But now that you know it, you got to change. Don't fall into the habit of attempting to make the Bible line up with what you believe. Instead, line up what you believe to what the Bible teaches. Amen? Pride must be removed. And what is pride? What is pride? You. So what you're holding on to is your pride. You think you know what the Bible says. You think you can look at somebody else and judge them by what you think. One scripture. People are using scriptures for everything. But it's not that way. And people would stop doing that if they understood. You can't use that for what you think it means, because it's going to come back on who? You. It's important to understand this. We can't use scripture for private interpretation. You can't make it to be what you want it to be, because it's from God the way God wants it to be. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Good. Thank you, Lord. Pride goes before destruction. Anybody ever read that in the Bible? Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction. That means if you're solid and you're prideful and you're just like that, and you won't give in, you won't give up, and you won't change, and you're too good to let God move you, that goes before your destruction. Listen to what Obadiah says. Let me read this. It's from the Bible. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, in your where? Who will bring me down? Who will bring me down? See, the people with pride and the people that think they live in safe places and those glass houses, amen, they think that nothing can touch them. They think they're so high and rock solid, they say, who can bring me down? And the Bible said it's your heart. It's your heart and your pride that's going to hold you back. Your pride of your heart has deceived you. The pride inside of you has lied to you. You've lied to yourself with that pride, thinking that you can overcome anything without God, that you don't need God, that God isn't alive, that the Bible's not alive. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock. That means you have a safe place. That means there's a you whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, who will bring me down? Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your what? All your, and lean not on your own understanding. Isn't that interesting? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In other words, you got to get His understanding. You got to get God's word, not the way you want it to be, because you can't use it that way. You can't use God's word to get something you want. That's not the way God intended it to be. And notice when you read the Bible, there's confirmation after confirmation. Sergio, when you start in the beginning, go to the end, everything is confirmed, said over and over again in different ways, in different lights. And as you live your life with Jesus, it shows you. You see it in your life. You see the changes in your life, the things that have brought you to here today, the good things in your life, and you're saying, wow, this is true because God has brought me to this place today. He has always been with me. Hallelujah. I think that's a good thing. Samuel says this, 1 Samuel 16:7, and I'll give you these scriptures, hallelujah, if you want them. I love this one. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Imagine that. How beautiful is that? The Lord does not see as man. You see people, you, anybody here don't like somebody else? Has anybody ever said that they don't like somebody? Raise your hand, everybody, because I know you all do it. My hand's up too. David's hand's not. Well, you see, the Lord doesn't see whoever it is that you don't like the way you see him. The Lord sees what's in that person's heart. You might not like that the Lord sees him different than you do, because you want the Lord to see him how? Your way. Because you want to do something. You want something bad to happen to that person because you don't like him. But you're a Christian, you see. And if you want to live by the Bible, you got to cross that out. You can't do that. The Lord does not see as man sees. I'm sorry to give you this. Some of you might be uncomfortable today. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Hallelujah. And this is beautiful. This is in Jeremiah. Listen to this. God, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God is saying that to his children this morning. You will look for me, you will seek me, and then you will find me when you look for me with all your heart. Your heart. Amen? Where you love. Do you have a spouse you love? I know Deacon Chuck loves Marilyn so much. That's in your heart. You see, God is saying, I want to be there too. I want room in there. And he said, you'll find him when you look with all your heart, George. When you look for God with all your, when you go somewhere alone, that's the best place to find God, when you're alone and you don't have any other noise and anybody, you're just talking to God. It's beautiful when you receive that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. This is so good. Proverbs, this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. That's Proverbs 3:5. Thank you, Lord. I love that. Judge not, lest you be judged. When you judge somebody, Whatever you judged him, understand this. Understand this, please. God has no choice but to judge you. Because you have done something, you have put yourself in the Word of God. Let me read what it says in Romans. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same thing. When you start to call people names, when you start to not like people, when you get angry about something, you're condemning yourself. When you're judging, I'm sorry, but when you judge somebody, the Bible tells us, and God cannot deny himself. So when you judge somebody, you are putting yourself in a place where Jesus has to judge you. Because you've done that. You've done that to yourself. Therefore, Romans 2:1, it says, Romans 2:1, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. Imagine that. All these words and anger that you have and all your things you're saying and people are saying and you're getting all excited. Imagine that. In heaven, you're condemning yourself. For you judge, for who judge practice the same thing. These words and these names, are you practicing them? You're learning them. Amen. That's what happens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When we put people into groups, I'm guilty of it. I'm sorry. A lot of time it's religion. You know, the Catholics, we talk about Catholics, forgive me, Lord. We talk about other religions. We talk about other groups of people, people who belong to a different group, another group that we don't know, or do different things in their life, or maybe they're a different race, maybe they're a different nationality, and we put them in groups. Anybody here Italian? I'm Italian. Any Italians? What did we hear growing up? We were all in the mafia, right? We must be Italian. Never say no to a man named Vito. That's what we were taught, right? You see, when you put people into a group, you've eliminated ever knowing the person that you put them in the group. When you give identity to people in a group, you've stopped talking to them. You stop wanting to talk to them. Well, you're this, or you're that race, or you're that nationality. And that's it. That's the end of the conversation. That's evil. Amen. That's not God's work. That's the devil's work. That's the devil's work getting us all to divide into little groups and look at every other group saying, look at how evil that is. And I told my wife this, and this is what I've been preaching on. It's in my heart. It's called guilt by association. That is the work of Satan. I'm telling you, you want to write that down? I'll put it, tell anybody. That guilt by association is the work of Satan. You don't know me. You don't know the other person. You don't know, oh, they're a member of this group or they're a member of that group. You don't know them. Yet they're guilty because they like that or they're a part of that. That's the work of Satan. That's his job. He's really getting it going too. Oh, he's stopping people from talking. Amen. I don't want to stop talking to atheists. I don't want to stop talking to people who hate God. I want to continue the dialogue. I don't want to stop talking to people who don't understand the Word of God. I want to talk about the Bible to people. I want to continue to do that. I don't want to stop. If I label them, then I stop talking to them. Oh, they'll never get it. That's foolishness. That's the devil winning again. Any group assembled together, when you point at that group as being evil, then I'm telling you, you're seeing it. I'm seeing it all the time. You got to know that's the devil's work. That's saying, I don't have anything to say to you. I don't have any understanding. So I'm just going to label you that. And that's the end of the conversation. If you're a member of this group, or if you're a member of that church, or if you believe such and such a way, I heard that. People are coming after you. They're coming after God. You know, people talk about gay marriage. I don't worry about gay marriage. You know why? I'm not going to be gay in a marriage. I don't worry about it. I pray for those people. That's my job. My job is to pray for them, not to get in their face and tell them, you're going to go to hell. Because I'm not, I don't get that kind of money. And neither you do. It's above our pay grade. So, but these people look at us and say, well, you're a Christian. You hate me. Whoever told you that? Lack of knowledge, amen? Understanding that their lack of understanding about who you are because they put you in already a group. You're guilty by association because you're one of his children, because you're Jesus Jr., Because you're a Christian. You've taken his name. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. When people name their children Junior, it's an honor. The child is, I'm a Junior. Well, you're a Jesus Junior because you took his name. You're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you got Jesus written on your shirt, on your forehead, on your arm. Please don't do that. I mean, unless you want to. That's not. It's not a sin. Is getting tattoos a sin? No. When people come to me and ask me stuff, real serious questions, my first question to them is, do you believe that sin exists? Because if they're asking you a serious question and they don't believe that sin exists, they're not really serious about wanting your answer. They're wanting to trap you. They're wanting to fool you. They're wanting to point a finger at you. They're wanting to blame you for something you had nothing to do about. If somebody's an atheist, I pray for them. I don't condemn them. I want to talk to them. Maybe one person who's an atheist will come into this church and say, Pastor, you said something that really touched me, and I want to know a little bit more about this Jesus. And I say, victory. Amen? Victory. When we do these things, when we put people into groups, whatever race and religion, we do it. We've all guilty of it. We become judges of those groups, putting us in a place. And please, let me say this again. When you do this, you're putting yourself in a place where God has to judge you. He has to. He has no choice because he cannot deny this word. Hallelujah. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. That's in Matthew. Matthew 7, 1, 2. For the way you judge somebody else, that's the way you're going to be judged. So when you see these people and you hear these people and you're part of that understanding, God is right there standing next to you saying, oh boy, I gotta talk to this child. Hallelujah. So here's the closing in Colossians. Listen to this. This is beautiful. For this reason, Paul is saying, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. How much wisdom? And spiritual understanding. You see, what I'm teaching you this morning is from the Bible. It's spiritual understanding. And you might say to me this morning, what is spiritual understanding? Let me explain. It's personal knowledge. Not through me or someone else. You must know him yourself personally. When you get a personal relationship with Jesus, with God in the Bible, all of a sudden you have that spiritual knowledge because he's feeding you. He's feeding you what you want to know, what you need to know, and what you're asking him. Not me. He's feeding you. He's feeding me too. But I want it personally. And you should want it personally from God. This sermon today should make you say, I want more of this book. This book is beautiful. I want to know a little bit more. I want to hear a little bit more. But maybe if you open it up and read a little bit, he can talk to you. That's spiritual understanding, personal knowledge through him, that you must know him personally. And his word reveals it to you. Imagine that. God is ready. And I wrote this in closing. A humble person prayerfully reading will find 1,000 things in the Bible. If you open this book, Miss Jean, you tell them. Don't ever stop talking, Miss Jean, because you have touched a lot of people. You have no idea how many people see you in such a spiritual way because of the way you talk and the way you talk about the Bible. It says right here, a humble person prayerfully reading will find 1,000 things in the Bible. And I know you can attest to that. 1,000 things. If you humbly read this book, openly, ready to receive it, ready to receive what God has for us. Hallelujah. And I hope you all want that too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We have a lot to do, brothers and sisters, but God's got your back. We have a lot of people to touch, a lot of people to reach. We have so many wonderful things waiting for us, so many victories ahead of us. If you're willing to try, give him praise, church. Give God our praise.
Another day is through. someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He'll do. No secret what God can do.
All right, hallelujah. God, I was just praying while she was singing, and it's no secret what God can do. It's beautiful. I'm going to send Marilyn each. I've read so many scriptures the last couple of weeks, and I'm excited that I'm reading more of the Bible to you. But I'm going to send her a list of the scriptures that I'm reading. The only thing I ask, if I do that, would you read it? Would you read in the bulletin from the week before? I'll do it in the week. The following week, you'll have these scriptures, because I'm reading from Romans and from Peter, and I'm reading from the Old Testament and Jeremiah and Obadiah. These are wonderful lines, wonderful things to understand. Understand and to know, because God loves you. And the more we understand His, read His word, He's going to bless this place because we're preaching His word. That's what makes me strong inside, knowing that we're on the right path. We're talking about the Bible. So I'm going to send Marilyn the list of these scriptures, and I'll put them in a way that you can all look at them. Marilyn, is that okay if we do that together? And that'll be great. And I'll start giving you all these, because sometimes it's hard to read when I'm reading, and sometimes I jump around a little bit, and I like that. It's called freedom. I have to be able to do that. I don't want to just be a robot and read to you. So I will do that and share that with you if you'll promise me, or give me, not promise, but just say that you will look in the bulletin and actually read them yourself, okay? Can we do that together?
Yes.
And we'll do that, and that's, and the other thing I need to know is, are we stuck on Tuesday for Bible studies? Because it's, you know, September's coming now, and we can start our Bible studies again. I'm real excited about that, because that's how we really get to know each other better. And I just didn't know, David, maybe Chuck, Marilyn, if we're stuck on Tuesdays, if we can do Thursdays. I know Wednesdays are out. Wednesdays are the Boy Scouts here. They're here every Wednesday. I guess I can ask Randy, but if we can talk about that, we can open up discussion and find out, because I'm ready and I'm willing and I'm excited about Bible studies and talking to you and having us around that table where we're reading the Word together. So let's, if we can look into that, I'd appreciate that. Amen. Give God praise, everybody, please. the Bible says this is called the Lord's Supper. There's nothing in the Bible about the Lord's Supper. We put those words in when you see they sort of titled where this is in the gospel. And they called it the Lord's Supper. This is just Jesus. The last night he's with his disciples. What's going to happen? And he shared this with them. And he said to do this in remembrance of him. And that's why we do this in the church. When Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, he's telling them, this is my body being torn for you. He's saying, eat and do this in remembrance of him. Remember, they didn't understand, but today you do. And that's why we're doing this today. It's a testimony and a remembrance to our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. Receive it this morning, church. We have the piano player back playing for this. I love it. Thank you, Joanne. What we're doing in this church is what Jesus asked us to do. So we're following the Word of God and following the Bible. But you can do this in your house. You can do this at your friend's house. You can do it for breakfast. You can do in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Enjoy this in Jesus' name. The remission of your sins. The advocate sitting at the right hand of the Father as you're covered in the blood of Christ. So Lord, forgive us for our iniquities this week. Forgive us for each and everything, Lord. Lord, cleanse us. Cleanse us from my thoughts and the actions and the deeds and the words and anything, Lord, that might have kept us from being closer to you. Cleanse us this morning that may we receive the blood of Christ in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're right there. He's looking down now and seeing his children covered by the blood of Christ. What a beautiful place to be. What promises you have because of Jesus. Simply because he loved you that much. And God the Father loved you that much. That he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. That our dreams and our loves and our wishes and all those things are still greater in front of us than they are behind us. And as we grow and we change and we get closer to God, that the things in our lives will be even greater than we could imagine. Promises yet to come. Thank you, Lord. Beauty yet to behold. Peace and joy yet to understand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Deacon. You will be healed this morning and have the strength and the courage to heal others. Have the faith and the joy to tell others about Jesus, what you have, in Jesus' name. Joy may be full. Give him praise, church. Give him praise. Went to the dentist the other day, and I know you know heard this before, but evidently he never heard it. And we were talking baseball, and he said he's a Met fan, and he kind of likes the Yankees. And he knows I'm a pastor, and he said to me, "I don't know if God is really interested in baseball." And I said, "Are you kidding me? What's the first three words of the Bible?" And then I realized he might not know. So I told him, "In the beginning." And he looked at me for a second, and I, "In the big inning, God created." And he just thought that was the, I'm sure he's told other people that, and it's sad because I thought everybody already heard that one. But you see, we can share God's word even with humor, see, because he knows I believe that. That I believe all that about what's in the Bible. And we can share that. And God wants you to use the humor that you have. You guys are pretty clever. I know you guys. You guys have friends I don't have, and you have other people. But you have gifts and talents that other people don't have. You have a way with words. And God is saying, use them one or two for me so that he can help more people. What a beautiful testimony. Amen.